Jean is going to share a reading with us to get us started on abstinence.
I'm Jean, food addict, compulsive overeater.
Hi.
This is from May 14 from Voices of Recovery. Nothing tastes as good as abstinence feel, which is a quote from For Today, page 154. Before OA, I evaluated what I put into my mouth only by how good it looked and how good it would taste. I still catch myself yearning and reaching for yummy items. One of the best reminders for me is that nothing tastes as good as abstinence feels. Years ago, before OA, a friend said this to me, but I never connected it to our program until I read it in my first OA year. Today, I know that immediate gratification is not the answer for me. Abstinence means exercise and sticking with the food plan that works for me. It gives me clarity, a sense of well-being, and the feeling that I am following God's will. Using the telephone and writing my feelings keeps me on track. Sponsoring is easier and more fun when I'm abstinent and working with my sponsor. God, grant me the willingness to make healthy choices, not only in the food I eat, but also in my relationships, in my loving, and in my caring for others who are still suffering. Thank you.
We will now listen to our third speaker, who is Ruth, and she's going to share her story and then provide an activity for us all to participate in. So please welcome Ruth. Amy. Phone left up here, anybody?
That's mine.
Oh, intentional. Sorry.
I might need to take a call while I'm talking here. Actually, there's a clock there, but I like to know where I am, because I have a lot to say, I think. Good afternoon. My name is Ruth. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ruth.
And I am delighted to be here. Thank you, Amy, for the invitation. Thank you for everybody who was involved in organizing this. A big holiday is coming up, right? A really big holiday. And I think it's just so great that we're all here. I know I have to get ready for the holidays mentally. I haven't done any shopping or, you know, thought about my menu or anything, but mentally, I started last year in October, and I started doing 90 and 90. And it was the first time in 14 years that I've been in program that I did 90 and 90, and it was really amazing, and it really helped me through the holidays. I don't have that kind of space in my schedule this year, but I have added a meeting, and I will continue to add meetings as I can because, you know, this is kind of a tough time. I mean, it's really challenging for us compulsive overeaters to go through a day of eating that begins a season of eating. Mandy, I think you mentioned that there are four phone meetings, phone marathons on Thanksgiving Day, and I didn't know that there were four, but I brought you a telephone number for one of them. And if you haven't participated in phone marathons on holidays, it is really a wonderful thing to have available to us. So I'm going to give you the phone number. It is area code 415. Put it in your cell phone if you have it. I tried to call a phone meeting not too long ago from my car and realized I didn't have this number with me, so it's now in my cell phone. Area code 415-400-0300. And the passcode is 428-5115, pound sign. 415-400-0300, code 428-5115, pound. So there's your idea for today. Is anybody else scheming or thinking about what they're going to do for the holidays and how they're going to deal with the holidays? I hope you are. And I hope there are some things that we're gonna take audience participation in a few moments.
The passcode, was it
428-5115 pound.
What time is that?
Starts at the 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, And the last meeting starts at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock Mountain Time. Ends at 10 o'clock, which is 12 o'clock Eastern. But there, you know, I'm interested in those numbers that you have, Mandy, because they may go even longer for those of us on Mountain Time. This is an East Coast number. They have a lot of meetings. And by the way, this particular number and this passcode, they have a lot of meetings on this number all the time. So if you're in a bad place and you need to just pick up the phone and you can't get a real person, you know, chances are if you dial in, there's probably about at least a 40 or 50% chance that you're going to find an OA meeting on this number and this passcode. So that's my idea for the day. Thank you very much. My name is Ruth. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I've been coming to OA for almost 14 years. This is my birthday in OA, because I can't count, you know, days of abstinence or, you know, whatever happened. I count the day that I came into program, which was March 17th of 1998. So next March, I will have 14 years in program. And when Amy asked me to speak, I said, well, I don't feel very qualified to speak, because speakers always qualify, right? We stand up, we say how long we've been here and how much weight we've lost. Well, guess what? I weigh just about the same as I weighed when I came into program 14 years ago. And Amy reminded me that I don't weigh 900 pounds. Thank you very much, Amy. In my heart, I know that. But as a speaker and following people who might have weighed at their highest weight what I weigh today, it makes me feel a little bit like, oh, I don't think I can talk. Well, of course I can talk. I have a lot to offer, I think. I hope. I forgot to turn on my clock. So you have to time me now. It's okay. That's okay. You're starting. Good. I always do stuff like that, you know. I'm all prepared, and then I'm a mess. About 10 years ago, I was in this room speaking about body image. And I really like interactive exercises, so we're going to do one later. And we danced. Right here in this room, in this church. Were you there, Amy, by any chance? Do you remember? I don't remember you from 10 years ago, but I'm really glad I know you now. But we danced and we had a good time. We talked about some really fun things related to our bodies, you know, because that's why we're all here, right? So here's what I'm going to talk about. Well, let me just give you a little bit. I haven't lost any weight in OA. I've lost some, gained some, you know, kind of did this whole thing. Left OA a couple times. And I gained weight when I left OA. So I came back. And that has made all the difference for me. I've been back since 2009. And I go to about 3 or 4 meetings a week. I worked the steps the first time I came into OA. I started working them right away, and it's made a huge difference for me because I had a spiritual awakening, a really, really important spiritual awakening, and, you know, if I never lose another pound, I'm really, really, really grateful for what I've gotten from OA, from working the steps, and finding a higher power, which I choose to call God. Abstinence. We're talking about abstinence today. And you know, we all talk about our definition of abstinence. And I like to maintain that when we talk about our definition of abstinence, we're often talking about our food plan. Because the program defines abstinence for us. There's actually, it's always sort of changing. It changed recently to add something about a healthy body weight. But the definition of abstinence says that it is the action of refraining from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors leading to a healthy body weight or something. I still haven't memorized the, you know, that last piece. But it's the action of refraining. And for me, that is sort of hard to get my brain around sometimes. It's sort of like a double negative, the action of refraining. And then we say the action of refraining from compulsive eating, and newcomers usually look at me like, well, what does that mean? Okay, what does that mean? And so we all go into this sort of, you know, dialogue about what compulsive overeating means to us. And it usually involves, a lot of times I'll hear these food behaviors, and it often involves not. Know this, know that, I don't do this, compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors. And so when I am talking about my food plan and my plan to stay abstinent, I like to talk about what I am going to do. You know, what is it that I'm planning to do or eat that helps me to maintain this thing that we call abstinence? And so today I'm going to talk about some of those and, you know, sort of throw out some ideas, and then I'm going to want to get some ideas back from you guys, because we all want to go away with some new ideas to help us through the holidays and the rest of our lives, right? So when I think of abstinence, first of all, one of the ways in which I define abstinence is that I abstain from negative thinking. That's one that will absolutely kill me, negative thinking. I abstain from doing it perfectly. How many in here are perfectionists? How many would identify as a perfectionist? It's a pretty common characteristic among us compulsive overeaters, isn't it? So I try to abstain from that. You know, I really am looking for that kind of behavior in my way of doing things. I abstain from starting over again. I left OA a couple times, and I don't want to do that again. Gratefully, when I went away, I continued to use my program. I continued to sponsor, and I continued to use the literature, and I continued to work the steps. And most importantly, I learned how to use step 11 in a big way while I was away from OA. So I feel like it was pretty constructive time. But starting over again in terms of, oh, I blew it today, I'm going to start over again tomorrow. Or, oh my goodness, I did this, so I'm going to start my diet on Monday. You know, bad idea. Start over again now. Or don't start over again, just keep going. And finally, I like to abstain from leaving OA. You know, keep coming back. This really, really works. Even when we might not see the physical recovery, you know, if we just hang out in the rooms, we learn quite a lot. And if we work the program, we'll learn a lot about ourselves, which is really wonderful. For me, OA has been learning how to do the program, learning how to work the steps, and particularly with my food plan, it's been a lifestyle change. You know, I have had to change the way that I do my life. I've had to change my schedule, my work, everything, who I interact with, how I do everything. It has been a major lifestyle change, and it's still in progress. You know, I'm never really done. Because, as Amy reminded me when she told me what the topic here is, it's about the process. It's not about the finished product. It's not about what I look like when I finish my program, when I finish doing OA and get healthy again. It's about what I learn while I'm going through this process. And so for me, it's been a huge lifestyle change. So one of the things that I want to share with you today is something that I started around the beginning of this year, I had been really struggling with my schedule, my eating schedule, and my whole life schedule. I mean, I don't have a regular job. I work for myself. I work at home. I have a family. I'm kind of crazy most of the time. You know, we all are. We live in the 21st century, right? And so I was thinking about how I was going to find a good, solid eating schedule for myself. And many years ago, I did a little program. It was an internet conference call program. And this woman taught us how to do a chart. And I like charts. I've been doing them with my kids for years, and I do them for myself. And I really like charts. I really like, at the end of the day, to take score. How was my day? I'm going to take score, and I'm going to see how many things I did okay. Not perfectly, remember, because I abstain from doing it perfectly. But what did I do okay with? And so I made a little chart that lasts for a month. This is what my chart looks like. It's got all these little boxes. And over here on the right-hand side, it's got a place to write in things that I want to remember to do. And so I made this chart, and I put it beside my bed, and I either did it at night, you know, I just check off the boxes, or I do it the next morning, you know, first thing when I got up. And we're going to do one of those today. You guys get to do one. You get to fill it out and, you know, decide how you're, you know, want to do your... I call this, I didn't know what to call it at first, but over the months, I began to call it my daily 10th step inventory. And it's really, you know, the inventory that we do so often is supposed to be about, you know, our relationships with other people and how we acted throughout the day. But this is my inventory with myself. And it's about my food behaviors, and the things that help me to stay abstinent. Because I don't have any knots in my food plan or my food, you know, I try to stay away from the knots. I try to pay attention to what I am going to do. And particularly for those things that aren't quite, that are a little shady sometimes, I like to keep track of how often I do them. One of the things that I was struggling with at the beginning of last year and continued to struggle throughout the summer was coffee. And I just became a coffee drinker in the last 5 or 6 years, and it really doesn't like me that much. And I knew that. I knew that. But I really kind of like coffee. It's a very social thing to meet people and have coffee, and, you know, we do it a lot after meetings. And so I decided to put coffee on my list and just track, okay, how many cups of coffee am I having every day? And I didn't like the answer that I was getting for a while because it didn't look very good. But I just kept tracking it. And lo and behold, I really have my coffee down to, you know, 2 or 3 cups a week. And it's always in a coffee shop with somebody. It's always in a social kind of setting. I just decided I didn't want to drink coffee at home anymore because it really didn't make sense to do that. So, let me just ask, I know that I'm doing this exercise. Do I get to keep going? Okay, so I think what I'm going to do here is I'm going to pass out this list to each of you, and I'd like for you just to think about the food behaviors that you might want to track, if in fact you might want to use this idea. And then we'll share a little bit about it, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of my food behaviors and some of the things that I track, because it's been really, really helpful to me. I started sharing this with my sponsor via email every day. Not every day, but just some days. And it's been really helpful to share it with somebody because it gives me accountability. You know, it's like, okay, here's what I did, or here's what I didn't. Here's what I did. So, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my list. Your list, of course, does not have to look like mine because, as Amy so graciously shared with me when I was sharing with her my concerns about talking today, she said, you know, this is a very gray disease, and there aren't any black and white solutions to our problem. And that's part of our process in recovery, is finding those solutions that work for us. So when I started filling out my chart and taking score every day, this time, I've done this many times, so it really does work. I keep coming back to it. I knew that I needed a schedule for my eating. So the first three items on my list are my eating times. And I'm not real rigid about this. I have a pretty nice little window for myself. I do my best every day to eat breakfast between 7 and 9, to eat lunch between 12 and 2, and to eat dinner between 5 and 7. And that has been really, really, really helpful to me this year, because whenever I'm trying to figure out, do we try to figure out things? Whenever I'm trying to figure out something, like what time am I going to eat or am I hungry now? You know, I'd really love to be one of those people who can say, am I hungry? Do I want to eat now? But my disease really doesn't allow me to know. So I try to stay on a schedule and eat between 7 and 9 breakfast, 12 and 2 lunch, 5 and 7 dinner. And so if I do that, I give myself a little check mark. So that's pretty easy. Now, I just want to say a little bit, because everybody always wants to know about somebody else's food plan, right? We always want to know what other people are eating. I find whenever I talk about my food plan, I can see people kind of listening up. I have a nutritionist. I've been working with a nutritionist for about 3 years, again, off and on, of the past 5 years, because I had a life-threatening disease. And my solution to my life-threatening disease has been nutrition. I have a fabulous nutritionist who tells me exactly what she wants me to eat. And I do it about, I would guesstimate, maybe 70%. So when I'm at home, this is really easy when I'm at home. When I'm at home and it's time to eat, I just go to my little sheet and see what she put on there, and that's what I eat. Because I always go shopping, grocery shopping, with my list in hand. So I always have the food in the house. Tricky part, of course, is when I'm out and about, you know, doing whatever. And so I'm probably about 70% on this plan, and that in and of itself is a miracle. And what's really wonderful about it is that she really supports me in being 70%. She says, that's great. You know, you don't have an active life-threatening disease anymore. And so if you're doing 70%, that's really, really good. I eat a lot of raw food. I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. And I eat a lot of food. I eat a lot of food because she tells me to. And I say, oh, I can't eat all that food. That's too much. And she says, well, you need to eat a lot of food. Your body needs a lot of food. And don't worry about the weight. So that's really kind of nice, and also kind of like, well, am I ever going to lose any weight? But that's not my issue. That's God. You know, that's a God thing. So I eat a lot of fruit. I do eat between meals. She assigns me snacks, 3 snacks a day, and most of them are fruit snacks, usually more than one at a snack time. I have more than one fruit. So I, you know, when I'm home, I'm eating all the time on schedule. So I track my fruit snacks, you know, because I don't really like fruit that much. And so I've been tracking how much fruit I eat, because I get a point if I did enough. I actually write down a number for this. It's really not even a check mark. It's a number. Same thing with other snacks. If I eat a snack that's not on my food plan that she's given me, I make note of that. How many? So again, I'm accountable to somebody about it. The next item on my list is meeting. I like meetings, and I always do better when I'm going to a meeting. It's one of our tools, and I just like to have it on my list. One of the things about doing this list is you don't want to think of it as a to-do list, and you don't want to hold a lot of judgment when you do this list. It's a tool for noticing. So if you put something on your list, okay, which you all are doing, I'm sure, right now, if you're putting something on your list, it doesn't mean you have to do it every day. I don't go to a meeting every day. I don't make phone calls every day. I don't do exercise every day. I do it most days, but I don't do it every single day. And so it's just a great way to notice. I don't know if you're like me, but I have all these plans of things that I want to do and accomplish. And I think, well, if I just do this for 5 minutes every day, I can, you know, no problem. Well, I have a list of 20 things that I could do for 5 minutes. I mean, I could spend the first 8 hours of my day just doing these things. And so we have to pick and choose. And so I think this has become a really, really good tool for me to notice those things and to remember. You know, if there's something that I really want to do, this helps me remember because I see it at the end of every day or the beginning of the next day. And so it's really nice to have a couple things that you do on a regular basis, pretty regular basis, you can just check off. You know, you don't even have to think about that. Get a point for it, right? The next thing on my list is actually the most important piece of my recovery, and it is my meditation. One of the reasons that I was attracted to 12-step is because of the 11th step, prayer and meditation. And I had done the prayer thing for most of my life, and it really wasn't working because I really did not have a relationship with a higher power. But I was really attracted to meditation. I knew a couple people who meditated, and I thought, well, that seems kind of cool. I like that. I think I'd like to do that. And I tried it, and I'd start and stop and whatever. But about 7 years ago, about 10 years ago, I had a pretty powerful spiritual experience. And I was looking for a way to keep it. And I have found that through meditation. And I meditate every day in silence. I sit quietly in a chair. No, I don't do the lotus position. I just sit in a chair and breathe and silently meditate. And that has been a great, great factor in my life. And I get a point for it now because it's on my list. Even though I know I'm going to do this every day for the rest of my life, I certainly hope it's on my list. The next thing on my list are phone calls. And when I started this list at the beginning of the year, I actually wanted to make more phone calls. I thought, you know, some people talk about doing 3 phone calls a day, and I've never done that. I just haven't. I talk to a lot of people on the phone about program, and I use the phone quite a lot, but I don't make 3 phone calls. And I'm going to just bust myself here because I still don't make 3 phone calls a day. I have the intention of doing it, and so far it hasn't happened, but it's still on my list. And by the way, some things come and go on my list. I have certain items that from time to time, I just want to remember them for a little while, and then they go away. I just, for whatever reason, I just decide I don't need to do that anymore. And that's okay, too, because this is your list. You get to make up the rules. Or I get to make up my rules anyway. I like rules like that. The next thing on my list is yoga and stretching. I started going to a yoga class about a little over a year ago, and it's been really, really, really helpful, just in terms of my body feeling better. And my doctor's been telling me since I was, 25 or 30, I needed to be stretching, and I didn't believe him until I got old and everything started hurting. And so I started going to yoga class, and that weekend yoga class helps me during the week. It helps me from week to week. If I go to a yoga class, I'm more likely to do it at home. So I'm really happy to say that my list and my yoga class have really helped me to do more stretching at home. And so that's an easy box for me to check off most days. You guys checking off boxes out there? I don't see very much writing going on. Thank you, Sally. You need more lines. Feel free to write on the back, no problem. You take this home and make your own chart, however you like to do it. Exercise. I've been blessed to have exercised most of my life in some way. I'm not nearly as determined about it. I used to go out there and sweat and, do all kinds of stuff. And when I had cancer 5 years ago, my holistic practitioner said, it's fine to exercise, but your body needs to heal. You need most of your energy for healing. So I really kind of cranked it down. And I have a dog, and so I walk my dog every day. That's a pretty, that's a pretty regular check mark for me. Other exercise, I try to do some aerobic. I try to do some, strength conditioning, various and sundry things that I try to work into my day. So I get another check mark if I do other exercise, but I almost always walk. And I'm really, really grateful for that because I have some really good walking friends. Sometimes sponsees come over and we walk the dog together. And I have a friend on a regular basis who's just a wonderful person. It's a great way to start the day, and we chat, and, we kind of know what's going on in each other's lives. And I just think walking for me is a great exercise. So I know I'm pretty fit. I may not look fit, but I can keep up with the rest of my family, who are all athletes, by the way. I live in a household with a bunch of athletes and a whole lot of food, a whole lot of food that I don't want to touch. But they're really cool about it. They have a locked cabinet where they keep all their good stuff. One of the other things that I was really attracted to, I hear people talking about it all the time in 12-step, and that's being on my knees. I'm a meditator, I pray, I have a fabulous relationship with a higher power, but I've never really been on my knees very much. And I try to do that. I try to do that every day. And it makes a difference. It really does. It's an act of humility. It's not my will. It's God's will. So I put that on my list just to remind me. Don't forget to get on your knees. A lot of people do it first thing in the morning. I'm kind of creaky when I get up in the morning, so I usually do it around the time of my stretching and so forth. So. And then there's my famous coffee habit. And when I send this to my sponsor, if I haven't had any coffee, I usually put a smiley face in here. You can do this anyway. I had a friend who was doing this with me at the beginning of the year, and she was putting stickers on her chart. She had all these little kids stickers, little tiny stickers. And for me, it's just been really, really fun to make up the rules and pay attention and be accountable. And I think I'm going to keep my chart. As I said, I've kind of converted it into a electronic form so that I can send it to my sponsor. I started doing that kind of recently, and that's just been really helpful, really fun. And So I was going to tell you some of the things that I've put on the chart and then removed from the chart, but I'm actually really interested in whether anything has come up as I've been talking and you've been sitting there holding your chart, whether anybody has any thoughts about what to put on your chart. Yeah.
What came up for me, I'm Shelley, food addict.
Hi, Shelley.
I've heard people doing gratitude lists where they add 5 things a day. So that I started a little notebook like this, and 5 is really simple. And then when I get down, I look through all the things that I'm grateful for, because so often I forget.
Yeah, thanks, Shelley.
That came up for me.
I'm just going to repeat that for the tape. Gratitudes. And that has been something that comes and goes on my list, because I used to send an email to friends with my gratitudes, and I got so many notes back that I was spending all my time doing email. So, but yeah, gratitude is so amazing. It is so amazing how it keeps us out of that negative thinking. So thanks. Ken. Is it Ken?
Doug.
Doug, thank you.
I realize that you... started out by saying you don't like to focus on not, but something basic, do you keep track of abstaining from sugar?
Thank you for that question. Doug, did I get it right? Doug wants to know if I track my abstinence from sugar. I do when I'm having a problem with sugar. I do not abstain completely from sugar. And so when I'm having a problem with it, when I'm noticing that it's in my diet every day, when I'm noticing that I'm craving it, I put it on my list and I tell my sponsor about it. Does that help? Yeah, that was the other thing that I talked to Amy about. I said, you know, I don't abstain from sugar. I mean, I just don't. And I've done it many times. It feels wonderful when I do. And the problem for me is that saying no is like telling me not to think about a pink elephant. If you tell me that I can't, telling me that I shouldn't think about pink elephants. If you tell me that this is bad, or that, you know, I shouldn't do this, guess where my head is going to go for the rest of the day and forever. And so I have really made an effort not to make any absolute no's in my food plan. And that's probably the reason that I'm still, you know, 30 or 40 pounds heavier than I would like to be. But I keep reminding myself that I don't weigh 900 pounds and that this program has worked for me. I do have an amazing relationship with my higher power. So someday, my nutritionist keeps telling me that I'm going to get there. She doesn't have a problem if I eat sugar in moderation. Sugar is horrible, though, for cancer. And so I did abstain religiously for about a year after I had my cancer diagnosis. I should abstain, but, you know, that's a should. I should abstain from coffee. There were 5 things, by the way, for any of you who want to know, that I did not eat right after I was diagnosed with cancer, and they were sugar and caffeine, alcohol. I know you're going to say, what did you eat? Meat and dairy. So, I mean, my first thought was, so what am I supposed to eat? And I learned how to eat well during that year. It was truly a blessing to have this disease, to have another disease that I was convinced that I needed to stay away from those substances. And I did. My diet was really clean. But it's all I did. That's all I did. That was my life, right? So anybody else want to share?
I already shared one. But
go ahead.
I like that this is not full of no, because I started writing no this, no that. So instead, I reworded it and said, eating food without distractions, because I'm real big about eating in the car, eating while I'm on the phone, yeah, eating while standing up, while, yeah, you know. And so when I could do that and have the TV off and no distractions, for me, that's huge.
Maybe light a little candle, say a prayer, all that stuff. Those are great tricks. And again, the thing I want to emphasize about this is that it's about noticing. It's not about judgment. You know, we compulsive overeaters, we addicts are constantly in judgment of ourselves. We're constantly talking to ourselves about what we didn't do right and what kind of a no good person we are. And one of the things, by the grace of God, that I have learned in this program is to notice, just to be conscious of what's going in my mouth, to be conscious of how I'm eating, and to be conscious of the things and the people around me, and to stop being judgmental, to love myself. That's the hardest thing that we have to do in this program, is to learn to love ourselves. And I'm just really, really, really grateful to be here. I'm looking at my clock and seeing that, you know, we have about a half hour left. And so if any of you would like to share about your list, your positive energy list, in your share, I'm going to turn this back over. And thank you again for allowing me to be here.
Thank you, Ruth. So we're going to open the floor for sharing on abstinence, what you've heard today, anything else that's on your mind, and as Amy said, things that you're struggling with. Because, you know, to the same degree that we don't talk about food necessarily in all our meetings, and it's not the only issue that a lot of us deal with, but we don't necessarily talk about what's difficult all the time. And so if anybody is having trouble and needs to talk about it, my recovery, somebody told me one time that saying something out loud records it in your brain in a different way than if you're just thinking it. And so if anybody wants to take the opportunity to say something out loud that they haven't said out loud before, or that they wanted to share about abstinence and they're developing abstinence.
I would just like to thank you and Amy and the other people for setting this up. This has been a wonderful afternoon. Thank you very, very much.
As I told Mark, I'm strictly the puppet. I'm just, somebody's behind me, making my head move. Anybody want to?
I'm Donna, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Donna.
And I think that, you know, when I'm qualified to talk about abstinence will be when I have it all down pat, you know, and I'm doing it right, rather than when I need it, which is now. So I appreciate the opportunity. I, after a lot of years of struggling and we used to have this piece of literature which said abstinence-the magnificent obsession. And I noticed that that has been kind of deleted, because the point is around not having to apply those compulsive, you know, judgments, which almost always were sort of destructive for me, to food, to a food plan. And so when I heard at the conference, which was the beginning of October, and someone stood up and talked about that she had been abstinent for like a huge amount of time, 35 years or something, and I always have that response, like, damn, if I had just gotten down to business, you know, of still like not accepting my own history. But what she talked about was the 301 plan, that's what she had done all those years. And it was like a gift from God of, oh, that's what I needed. Three meals, nothing in between, and just one day, just today. Not 35 years, not what's going to happen Thursday or December, but, you know, like what time it is now, and that sort of thing, of just staying with that. Because otherwise I'll get so compulsive about it should be, you know, just all those behaviors, whether they're positive or negative. And at the, you know, at the, something that just gives me so much consolation, so much comfort, is it talks about, we who live this program are the message. Every day that I live well, I am well, and embody the joy of recovery, which attracts others. So we're happy to share these 12 steps which empower me to live well and to be well today. And it's so hard for me to just stay in, you know, today and being well, rather than regret over the past, and now I'm old, sexual, what about this and that, all those. That is really easy for me to be in that, but to just, and, you know, so for so many years, for me, it wasn't the softer, easier way. It was just a refusal to accept the plan, because if you gave me a plan that said X, I looked at, well, I got to cut that, because how can I have to recover more quickly, I have to get to a regular weight as fast as I can, because look at all the years I pissed away. And so I was never willing to accept, really. I was always trying to find that thing that it talks about in the book of how to not be fat. And, you know, so I had the food problem, and then I built all those diet and different compulsions around it. And so it's just been, you know, again, such a comfort to get back to what for me, and that's really the only thing I need, is when a food is calling to me, I'll look at the clock and think, really? You want to make this thing? You're flipping, you know, whatever the meal is. And most of the time it's like, no, especially if I've had a meal, you know, when I should have on that three meals a day plan, then stuff doesn't call. So anyway, that's what I know about abstinence, which is nothing except that how much I need it today for my sanity. Thanks.
Thanks.
My name is Doug. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Doug.
this exercise of looking at each day in the month and having a list of the things that you want to do is really inspiring. Particularly the idea of spending some time every day meditating. Spending some time every day on my knees. Those are very good ideas. But another thing is, if I get up in the morning and I don't have breakfast, then it's almost guaranteed that in the late afternoon I'll call Domino's and order two large pizzas, almost guaranteed. So one of the things that I plan to do for my little list is, did I eat breakfast? Doesn't have to be a large breakfast, but did I eat some breakfast, a healthy breakfast? So thank you very much.
Thanks.
I'm Leslie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Leslie.
And I think that about abstinence for me, I have such a struggle with thinking about negative thinking and about harsh, very, very harsh, judgmental thinking just every second of the day. So one of the parts, big parts of recovery for me is allowing love to come in from God and from other people, And for me to work on telling myself that it's okay to not be so hard on myself if I overeat something, or if I, you know, do something against my abstinence. In some ways, I kind of abstain from defining what abstinence is. I do abstain from eating junk food. I definitely do that. And I just believe that that's a good choice for me. But I think that what I'm trying to do is live more in the gray of food and be, but one thing that I do have trouble with is, okay, so like right now I'm really hungry and I'll leave here and because I'm really hungry, if I get too hungry, then, you know, so that's another thing. And then the other thing that I have trouble with is just, here's a little piece of this and here's a little piece of that, instead of just waiting for a meal. And what I think I'm doing, and it's so unconscious, is trying to manage my emotions. You know, it's so automatic. And I'm just praying to ask God to help me with being more aware, because I'm so numb with it. So, and then one other thing that I wanted to say, and I just really am embarrassed, but I need to apologize, is I forgot that when the group this morning said yes to having the writing group, it's supposed to be one for women. And two, the other thing is that they need to call the church first and get an okay for using the room. And I forgot about that, because I guess I just really wanted it to go. So I announced it a little prematurely. But if you are interested, you can call me and ask me. And again, I'm really sorry. Thanks.
I'm actually forcing myself to look at life or this thing in this perspective. So this is like a different. I need to appreciate the person that has come into my life, and I'm just, I can't get along with anybody, and I don't. Hi, I am every 12-step program, and my name's Nina. And in all those 12-step programs, I've learned more and more about myself that continues my development and growth. And I know that it's self-discovery. I never had a sense of self. I still don't. I think all of you have something that I have to have and know and learn and do, and that's not the case. The other thing is, the person in my life is, I'm telling on myself with my abstinence every day. And it was hard, and, you know, and then it became less because I didn't want to call her and say, oh, yeah, well, I did this and that and this. And she's just been really supportive, and she said, you know, just give up something. And I'll just say it. I don't, you know, I give up soda. You know, I've said that all day today. And I'm able to do that, and I think I can continue to do that along with salt. And then I found that I was eating less because my food was less pleasurable because of no soda. And really, maybe, you know, and then also no alcohol. And it's my day off. It's been my day off for 2 days. What I do is I go get a 12-pack, and I load up with as much food as possible, and I go to the motel, and I get good and loaded, and I lay there, and I feast myself into oblivion. And that's my entertainment. I woke up this morning ill from that behavior. And I woke up and I realized I didn't do that. So, and she's always like, well, she's all like a cheerleader and stuff. And it's annoying as hell to me. It's like, hey, Nina, I'm like, oh my God, you're going to go out the window soon, you know. But I'm not going to quit her. I've quit everybody else, not any reflection of them, but I've quit everybody that has come into my life. Or I push you away in some way or some sort. So anyways, I... I can quit Pepsi. I can quit Coke. I can, you know, I can do that. I can quit the salt shaker. There was another thing I wanted to say. I was going to quit OA. I had something happen, and I'm glad I didn't. I was just like, you know, just because I'm very sensitive, and I didn't, and I went to the meeting, and people, I'm doing my inventory, my history, and my inventory, and what it's coming up is, I was thinner when I was in love, and I was fatter out of love, not meaning like a love relationship or, you know, or anything like that, but, you know, just love. So I don't know how, if I can bring love into my life, I don't know how, but when I do, I think I'll be thin, if that makes any sense, or even if it's at all possible. I'm just grateful for the program. I'm less crazy. When I first came in, I ended up going through the archives of everybody's writing and old people that aren't here anymore, and I grieved over that. I said, God, I miss that person, or I miss this person, or damn it, you know, why did I fuck that up? Or, you know, taking this like I'm all important. It really wasn't about me, but I miss all those people, and it's a great deal that don't come anymore. And I noticed my name, and each time I written my name, my handwriting was different. You know, and I know I'm crazy, but I'm less crazy. You know, but my handwriting was different, and it was just, you know, looking at that, and then turning the page of next week, and I'm going, well, and then another, it was, I think I've got, you know, six different, maybe seven different writing styles in my personality, you know. But anyways, I'm going to be consistent with that now, and we'll see how that goes. But I needed hugs today. You know, I got a lot of hugs that I needed. And I'm just thankful for everybody for that. And good luck. So, thanks.
I'm Lynn, recovering compulsive overeater. You know, the part where it says the opinions expressed here were strictly those of the person who gave them. And I take that to heart. I really do. And I want to talk, my abstinence was really important for me to get that there's no good or bad foods. You know, that in the same way that the number on the scale isn't good or bad. And my tendency when I hear about something that somebody is doing, you know, my magnifying mind goes to, I should be doing that too or else I'm bad. You know, and it's really hard to not compare. You know, the resistance to compare, because comparison is a losing game for me. I will not ever measure up. And so I've heard a lot of people share today about, you know, measuring up. And I have nothing to say about abstinence because I'm not. Or I'm not the weight that I should be representing. And so what I wanted to say about that is that here's my belief, my program is based on the fact that I was created unique by my God, and we all are pieces of the puzzle, and that, you know, the jigsaw puzzle is not complete without anybody's contribution. And so I have to believe that I have value and that you have value. But I want to hear what you say and then dismiss it. You know, I don't like the way you say it. I don't like something about it. And so, but I have to remember that if I'm going to maintain my own value, that I'm going to maintain your value too, and the respect. And that's part of my abstinence, is to see the world that way, that we belong here. We, each one of us, belong here. And the world would not be the same. And this room would be different if one person were not here. And so that's a really important part. And that makes, I think, is the relief of the food obsession. Is because I want to be healthy because God doesn't make garbage. And, you know, and I got a gift, and that's this life. And if I don't use my gift, you know, I'm saying, okay, thank you very much, but I think I'm going to return it and get something else. And there isn't something else. You know, we have this day, and we have this. And so that's what I wanted to say about abstinence. We still have 10 more minutes if other people want to share. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Brad. I kicked my cup and I'm haven't picked a label that I'm happy with yet, but I'm definitely
in the area.
Hi, Brad.
I started going to meetings about 15 months ago, or a year ago. And I'm like, Amsterdam, what's that? Let's try something obvious. Let's just not drink soda. Okay. I not drank soda. Okay, Ken has no soda for about 15 months now, so there's that. So I keep adding things to it was the point I wanted to start with. Like, I figured out, you know, that's great, I'm doing that. That's not enough. That's not enough to get the kind of recovery that I see, you know, many places in these rooms and many places, you know, just out and about, because, you know. And I guess what, while I don't have the physical recovery I'm looking for, I've lost 75 pounds, but that's not what I'm looking for. I have mental recovery, and this is what I mean by that. I decided the biggest piece of what I wanted to do was write down everything I ate. I haven't done that before. You know, I understand that some people even have problems with that, so, you know, I'm reluctant to talk about it, but what I was able to do is write down everything I ate and weigh and measure and then, you know, total it all up, and I look at the total of that on the one hand, and I look at the total of what, you know, the equations say I should be eating, and then I look at these small gaps in my food log, you know, that are like an hour and a half long, and I'm like, yeah, let's fill in the excess there. So at least I found the shape of my disease. You know, I know what it looks like now. And I know from looking at my emails and the stream of electronic things that I have, because I'm a software engineer, I know what I was doing hours before those periods, and I know what I was doing after those periods. So I was able to figure out to some extent what causes those periods, and they become less frequent. But, I mean, I guess abstinence, my point was, is that it's a moving target for me, and it will be. I mean, another point I had is I had at one point, before I even came into the program, I went to a medically supervised kind of outpatient diet thing. And I had, this is what I want, I had perfect abstinence then. I knew exactly what was in everything, and I never ate anything that was not on, and I knew exactly what I was going to eat tomorrow. And I was even exercising the appropriate amount, because for me it's either no exercise at all or running until I have sores in my feet. But I had it, you know, the right level of that too, and that went on for 9 months, and I'm like, what happened? How did that go away? How did that... And I think the problem was, is that, you know, the doctors, the nutritionists told me, okay, now you can just go back to normal. Mm-hmm. I want you to just add, you know, add this food, add that food. Sure, you can have a little pizza, it'll be fine. You know, you won't take that anywhere. And I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So, although my abstinence right now is a moving target, I at least have, through that experience, an idea of what it might look like in the future. And that's about it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
My name's Rune. I'm a compulsive reader.
Hi, Rune.
I'm a newcomer, and I've just been going to meetings for a while. I just want to say I'm kind of uncomfortable being up here. I don't have anything profound to say about abstinence or recovery, but I definitely want to say thank you for the speakers who came up to speak. I really enjoyed listening to that. Thanks.
Thanks.
Hi, my name's Erin, and I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I'm really nervous right now. And I guess just thinking in abstinence and looking at this form and everything, I'm still kind of like a newcomer-ish, and so I'm still working on abstinence, but I know the negative thinking is going to be a huge part of my recovery, because... That's just huge for me. And I guess, sorry, I'm really nervous. But even just, I guess one thing that's kind of been on my shoulders, feel like I need to just express it to get it off my shoulders, is when I say I'm Aaron and I'm compulsive eater and bulimic, I've definitely gone through those stages where I feel like I'm not even a good enough bulimic to be called bulimic. I guess I would say I'm a compulsive overeater and I throw up sometimes, which is probably harder for me to admit than I'm actually bulimic. And I mean, I even notice I still have that kind of possessed thinking where it's like, you know, like, I wish I was anorexic, but I can't be that. So then I'm like, fit in this bulimic thing, but I'm like, I'm not even good enough, don't throw up enough to be bulimic. And so it's like, this compulsive overeating stuff that gets me. And also just, I know for me, the biggest part of my overeating is because it's like a self-abuse type thing. And it's like, I wish, it's like, if I overeat, it's like the worst thing. And it's like, I hate myself so much. So it's like, what's the worst thing I can do to abuse myself is to eat more. And so it's always like a punishing for myself, and out of so much hatred. And so I know that if I can get my negative thinking kind of under control, other things should come up. But then I know another, this could just be more negative thinking, but I also struggle because I'm like, if all this negative thinking is just like, you know, like kind of like the notion like you are or what you think about type of thing. And it's like, well, if I'm thinking all these negative things, like I'm negative, but it's like, I'm thinking all these positive things, then it's like kind of like these illusions, like maybe I'm just like seeing myself as like this negative person, but then I'm like, well, if I'm thinking all these positive things, maybe I'm just seeing myself as this positive person, but I'm like, where is like the reality in it? And so it's like, I feel like I've gone through therapy where they do a lot of like the positive affirmation, but I feel like it's always like still in that ungrounded area where I'm like what truth is there to this? And I just feel like I just don't know where to go with it. And it's something I can't put a lot of my faith in. So I think that's hard for me. But anyways, sorry if any of that made sense. I just also think part of recovery will be expressing myself. I don't speak up for myself a lot, and I always kind of do what other people, I feel like they want me to do. So that's another part that's hard for me with food, because even if I want to do what I want to do, sometimes I'll do what they want to do, even if it'll send me into a binge, possibly. So anyways, thank you for listening.
Thanks, Erin.
My name's Chris, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I appreciate everyone's shares today because it helps me to continue to refine, because, you know, just over the past 4 years, I continue to struggle with that, am I doing it good enough, you know, concept. And I just want to say that's what the black and white thing, because I think we can get all wigged out about, you know, this abstinence type of thing. So for me, when I say black and white, what I'm meaning for myself is to find something that I can do that is simple and successful, so that I'm not constantly saying it's not good enough, it's not good enough, it's not good enough, because I can do that forever. And so, you know, some of the different examples that I've heard, you know, is for one person, that black and white thing is, I'm just not going to purge, and that's it, you know. And then the food plan is where you play around with all the different stuff about what works for me, you know. Or for another person, it's 3 meals and 3 snacks, and so that's something concrete that they can work at that's easy. But those meals could be whatever, you know. And then the food plan is how you work that out. So I know. I mean, I know it can be so easy for me to beat myself up around anything. And so when I'm looking at something that's black and white for myself, it's got to be something that's simple and easy that you can do anywhere at any time. It's not, you know, I can make it really complicated so that I'm never successful. And so I want to make it something that I can be successful. So it may just be letting go of pop, you know, or whatever it is, you know, soda. And then you start from there and can move forward. So the And for me, that's a paradox, and I love paradoxes, and OA is the ultimate paradox. So thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
I want to respect time, but I also would like to, if anybody just wants to introduce themselves and doesn't want necessarily want to say anything, if anybody wants to just say, you know, take their seat.
I'm Shelley, and I'm a food addict, and I'm just really grateful that I came today and that everybody was here. Thank you to the speakers and everybody that put it on. And I just was really blessed today to really be connected to being aware of our similarities instead of our differences. And for me, that's huge. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name's Nina, and I am going to celebrate it just because she's celebrating everything. You know, I am in the smallest pant size I had in my closet.
Anybody else want to introduce themselves?
My name is Amy Fudetta from Lehman.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, and I very much thank you for the chart. You know, this Lyme disease is one about the black and white, all or nothing. And something I learned later, and I use responses, is wherever you are and you're trying to be willing to be absent, find the successes, you know, and my higher power builds on that versus saying I failed again because I didn't meet this little food plan that somebody else who's really cool and I want to be like them and I want to try to do it and it doesn't work. And with the chart, what happens is that I realize that if I look at myself, I still have this dysmorphic. I don't see myself as I am. I recognize that. And I also don't see success in my recovery for what it is. And the chart helps me kind of get that perspective. So I really appreciate it. There are little things like stopping during the day and just being that I cannot seem to do. There's other things like the stretching now as I get older that are necessary for me to function so I don't hurt myself. So this, I really appreciate it. It gives me something to look at without failing and just getting perspective. So this is a little gift. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks. I don't know about it. I'm Marcia.
I'm Marcia. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I wondered when we get in a circle, if we could go around and introduce ourselves just before we close.
Sure.
And also, this is the Be Care list. And a lot of people signed it when they came in. Not everybody did. But if you want to get names and numbers after the meeting, you can do that.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know about anybody else in the room, but I have trouble with the concept of enough. And so when I first came in, I think it's really important to give credit where you know, from the source. And this woman, first meeting, said, I am enough, I have enough, I do enough. And, you know, and that's really important for me to repeat. So thank you all so much for coming. Remember that we all came here seeking freedom from the addiction and to reclaim our lives. We hope that today has given you some new thoughts, perspectives, and ideas about abstinence and offer something that may help you in your personal quest for abstinence that works for you. Now, if we can form a circle and close with, I put my hand in yours. And if anybody needs it,
we put it on the floor. Yeah, maybe I'll start with you.
And per Marcia's suggestion, we'll just introduce ourselves first.
I'm Marcia. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Marcia. Hi, Marcia.
My name's Arun. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Arun.
I'm Donna, compulsive overeater.
Donna. Hi, Donna.
I'm Nina. I'm everything.
Hi, Nina.
Nina.
Hi, Mary.
I'm Chris, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Chris.
Hi,
Leslie.
I'm Doug, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Doug.
I'm Kate in recovery.
Hi, Kate.
I'm Lynn, recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lynn.
I'm Jean, food addict, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jean.
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
I'm Jody, I'm compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jody.
I'm Erin, I'm compulsive overeater, and I throw up.
I'm Virginia, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Virginia.
I'm Mandy, I'm an addict.
Hi, Mandy.
I'm Jane, I'm an overeater, and I have other addictions too.
Hi, Jane, welcome.
My name's Ruth, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ruth. Hi, Ruth.
Mark, compulsive overeater, bulimic.
Hi, Mark.
Shelly, food addict.
Hi, Shelly.
Christina, bulimic.
Hi,
Hi, Christina.
Amy, food addict, bulimic.
Hi.
Nancy, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Nancy.
I'm Brad, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Brad.
Amy, want to start? Help us with the prayer.
Okay. After a moment of silence for those who suffer in and out of these rooms. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Keep coming back. It works when you work it, and you're worth it. Thanks, everybody.